Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Aired out downfield and picked. Richard Sherman gets his fourth in his postseason career and ends this game.
You realize how difficult it is to get here, but you know, the beauty in this sport is it is a true team sport. You're relying on so many other people. And as we move into the off season now, the reliance is on guys doing their responsibilities and doing their part to be ready for next season. And who knows what can happen. I mean, it's a long year, but this one will always be special because it became fun again.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 of the Score. That's, of course, Aaron Rodgers in the post game, and we are delighted to welcome in Bill Michaels, middays host at 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. He, of course, does the Packers pre- and post-game show as well, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Morning, Bill.
Guys, great to talk to you again. We're doing okay.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about it a little bit. That bit about him having fun again, was that a shot at the former coach? How do we not take it as a warning to those in Dallas?
Certainly seems like he was taking a little bit of a shot. Like, you know, I don't know if it was the losing from the last 2 years or the way the locker room was run or the fact that, you know, when they brought in Zadarius and Preston Smith, suddenly Aaron had some additional leadership that was taking some of the pressure off him. I mean, I don't know the reasoning, but it's certainly the mind goes right to Mike McCarthy and that relationship between those two before McCarthy's departure. So I couldn't help but think the same thing when I heard that.
You know, Bill, I think when you hear Aaron Rodgers afterward talk about how this window still open for the Packers, you know, you hear that in Chicago, and you wonder about their ability to return to have success next season. The Bears weren't able to do that. What gives him confidence? What gives maybe Packers fans confidence that they will be back and they will be as good as they were this season?
Well, defensively speaking, you still, like I mentioned, you still have your leadership. You still have the two guys that kind of stirred the drink in Zadarius and Preston Smith. You have Aaron Rodgers. You know what, guys? It used to be you would just say, well, you have Aaron Rodgers. I can't say that anymore. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers has not looked like Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. Ever since Anthony Barr broke his collarbone that year, a few years back, he has not been as accurate. He has not been as good. He's not been as Aaron Rodgers-esque as we've, you know, kind of grown accustomed to. And part of that's his own doing. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers set the bar so high that you to live up to that every year is almost impossible. So if you've got a very smart, very good quarterback, you should be able to then put enough around him that he can be successful, the team can be successful. I think what's so disappointing about this season is I've always said, guys, you got to be good, you got to be lucky, you got to be healthy, and you got to be hot if you're going to win a championship. And this is the healthiest they've been in almost two decades. And to have that opportunity go by the wayside, I mean, you're good. You get to a 13-3 record. You just don't fall butt backwards into it. And they were hot coming down the stretch. But, you know, some of the luck just kind of wore off, and obviously some of the mistakes they made. You got a punter that was sick that shanks a punt. You got Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, inexplicably dropping a snap and then throwing a couple of picks. It just the wheels just kind of fell off. And what I've said for the last couple of years is as good as the team has been, they got manhandled last night. I mean, they got bullied, and they had no answer. And that's one of the things now Brian Gutekunst, the GM, has to address, because we've been saying for years – these signings of guys like Fackrell and company and you know, Montrevious Adams, they look like Tarzan, but they play a lot like Jane. And you gotta find guys who want to beat the hell out of you to win in this league, because you look at the teams that are there now. And I keep saying it year after year. And if they don't find a defense that's going to support that offense, it's going to support Aaron Rodgers, which last night it wouldn't have mattered. But if they're not going to find a defense to support this, then they're just spinning their wheels. So it's going to be a big offseason for the Green Bay Packers.
You know, by the end of the game, Rodgers' numbers looked pretty good because of, you know, I mean, listen, that game seemed like it was over at halftime. Davante Adams seems like the only guy he really likes to throw to. Am I wrong about that? Are they?
No, no, you're 100% right, and that's part of the problem. Is Aaron, when you listen to Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson talks about going out and getting new guys, and look at the weapons that he got. And they say, you know, oh, I'm going to work him in, and I got to get this guy to trust me. And Aaron Rodgers is just the opposite. If he doesn't have your trust, he doesn't throw you the ball. You short arm a pass, he doesn't throw you the ball. This kind of, you know, I'll sit you down, I'm your mentor, tutor mentality, you got to just get out there and wing it. Look at the years of Tom Brady. He didn't have anything. He just had to throw to guys. Right. You just got to just short, quick passes, throw to guys, get rid of the damn football. Aaron Rodgers wants to stand back there and pat, 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 wait for his guy to get open on the route that he wants. And if it doesn't happen, he's going to eat it. Now, the good thing about Aaron Rodgers 99% of the time is he's not going to throw you an interception by just winging the football. But at some point, you have to throw the football. You have to get rid of it. You can't just rely on one guy. And Aaron, that's where Matt LaFleur has to step in and go, Aaron, you got to get rid of the ball. You got to throw to these guys. How does a guy ever grab your trust or build trust if you never throw him the football because you are the almighty Wizard of Oz? And if you're not going to do it, then what are you doing? If you don't have three, because he's, look, go back to 2011 when he was so good. He had Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb had come into the mix, James Jones, Donald Driver, JerMichael Finley. Those are his weapons. Mm. That's the reason he was so good, because anybody got open at any time and you could trust these guys. He's locked in Davante Adams, and that's where he wants to go with the football, and he's going to do it at all costs. And unfortunately, there's been times this year he's cost his team.
Bill, nobody watching that game would argue with your assessment that they got manhandled up front and that the holes were there, and I think that Mostert took advantage. But I have to say that the thing that stood out to me most about the Packers' defense was the secondary, their unwillingness to make this a physical game and to participate in the run support part of their job was a big problem for the Packer defense. And I just wonder, when you come out of this season and you look at their secondary as a whole, is that where are they with that? Because I know they spent a lot of money on Amos. They drafted Savage. They feel pretty good about their corners. And yet, when they needed them to come through in a big game, I just thought they had a bad game.
Not only did they have a bad game, they cowered away. If you noticed a couple of those big runs, guys were just launching themselves at the ground and not taking on blockers. And it was, I mean, I tweeted it. I said it was disgusting. It was just, you're paying football players to hit somebody, and these guys are throwing themselves on the ground almost like they're tripping over grass just so they don't have to actually make contact. And that's something, you're absolutely right, it's got to be addressed. Darnell Savage was a guy that wanted to come in and be a hitter. Last night wasn't a hitter. Now, I understand Jair Alexander was playing with a dislocated thumb, and it was bothering him, and he couldn't really drop that shoulder and wrap up. Okay. But Kevin King has done this all season long. And I give him credit because he is an all-or-nothing guy, but last night he was more nothing than he was all. So you're right. They've got to address that. But it's just, you know what, part of it is you've got a soft underbelly. As much as people talk about Blake Martinez and his tackle statistics, they're all downfield, and he doesn't cover very well. And the worst word you can have, you know, kind of associated with you as a middle linebacker is solid. Well, he's solid. He's a solid tackler. He fills the hole. But he doesn't do anything dynamic. It's kind of like being the Ryan Tannehill of your offense. You're a game manager. Just don't screw it up. And that's what he is as a middle linebacker. So they've got some guys that they got to go out and get. And between free agency and the draft, they got some holes to fill back there. And I think also it becomes a mentality. If guys up front are getting blown away, guys in the back aren't doing nearly as much as they should to become really the physical players when they see the big guys that are getting dominated. So I think it was just a snowball effect last night. Defensively, they crumbled.
Where is the priority? If you're looking at the draft, and obviously you take the best player and you don't want to get caught up in trying to create a player, but if you're looking at free agency, if you're looking at the offseason, what would your priority be?
Well, I think 1 through 3 is, my number one is finding a veteran wide receiver to come in alongside Davante Adams. You can't go just find some young kid and say, okay, go be great. And you're going to probably have to find a veteran linebacker. This is the end of the contract for Blake Martinez, who I just mentioned. You've got Oren Burks, who you drafted a couple of years ago, but he's had a bum shoulder. You've got other guys, but nobody's really stepped forward to be that guy that they get. They keep looking for Urlacher, and Urlachers aren't out there. So you got to go find somebody. You got to go pay somebody. So those, to me, are the two priorities. After that, you could say additional depth at the wide receiving core, which I'm sure they're going to draft. Probably same thing at the linebacking core. You need another lineman to help Kenny Clark. You've got to be better in the run. And then you're going to trickle it backwards into that secondary. And because Tremont Williams is, 38, going to be 39 years right. old. And he's one of your better, more intelligent players. You got to go out and start finding guys that can supplement this. You can put as a 1A, you got to figure out Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga just came to the end of his contract. So did he do enough to earn, because I think he had a tremendous season, did he do enough to earn another, say, another two-year deal where you can front-load it, and that way if he's not good after next year, you can cut him loose? Or do you go out and try to find yourself a right tackle as well? Because they don't have anybody sitting in the mix right now that's going to be their bona fide right tackle. So you got to solidify that. I think it's easy to bring Brian Bulaga back, but at what price? So they're going to have about $45 million under the cap to be able to spend, but they got to pay some of their own guys, and they got to figure this out.
Bill, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, Bill.
Guys, anytime. Love listening to you. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.